And we're holding on Peihei Omidbey's the second line from the bottom. We started talking about you have the case in the Mishnah where a woman says that whatever that my mice yodayim, what I make, what I produce, the value of it, whatever, should be also to your mouth. So she's saying to her husband. So now we have a three-way machlokas in the Mishnah. What happens with that? The Tanakama had said the husband doesn't even need to be made for that because she's meshubet. Rabbi Akiva says there is a reason he should be made for, because what if she produces extra? And as we talked about yesterday, Rabbi Akiva holds that what she produces extra, in particular what she produces extra, al yedad chak, by forcing herself to do more than usual, is something that would belong to her. So therefore she's able to put that under a neder. And then we had Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri saying that he has to be made for, because what happens if he divorces her? Then they're going to be also to remarry. By the way, as far as the question, Avraham Moshe, you asked me yesterday, as far as it not being krisus, I haven't yet found an answer to it, but I think the answer is basically, like I said yesterday, the problem with krisus would be when there's something in the get itself or some t'nai related to the get itself that makes them that they're still connected. For example, if a condition on the get were to be that she's never allowed to do such and such again, then that would be, right, then that would be a lack of krisus. Here it's not a condition on the get. Here it's a side thing. You know, the same way, for example, as you're not going to say that if a kohen divorces his wife, it's not going to work because she's never allowed to remarry him. That fact that she's never allowed to obviously has nothing to do directly with the get. Anyway, we said in the Gemara that Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon ben Nuri. And we were discussing, now how could that be? Shmuel himself holds that a person can't be makdish something that doesn't exist yet. So how is she able to be makdish her future maisi yadayim? So we went through a whole discussion about it, and we're in the middle of that discussion. We said that the case would be where she says that my hands are kodesh. Well, then fine, because the hands exist. But the question was, what about the shibud? What about the shibud? Her hands are meshubud to their husband. Meshubad to her husband. So, after all, if she says I'm makdish my hands, the implication is she's makdish them as of now. And the answer is, we said that no, she said there, I'm makdish them as of when we get divorced. Then it works, because she's saying that it should be chal when it's able to, when she's not meshubad anymore. So now this is where we're up to.
And then we also, it's about the mezonis, if she's willing to have her own mezonis.
That we discussed that before, and we're going to discuss that point again later. Right. So the Gemara asks, Hashta Mias Le Megarsha, how does that work? The fact is, right now, she's not divorced. So what makes us say that if she says such a thing now, it should be effective? Fine, if she were to say after she gets divorced that this should happen, of course, then she can make such a neder. But how, it's fine. Now, we know a person, for example, can make a neder now that should take effect only later. But that would have to be, the Gemara is assuming that it could have taken effect now. You just chose to make it take effect later. Say, for example, an animal for a carbon. Let's say you could have been makdash it now. Instead, you're saying it should be mukdash 30 days from now. You could become a nazir now. Instead, you're saying I'm going to become a nazir 30 days from now, etc. But over here, where on the face of it, she's not able to be makdash now. Fine. Even, in other words, leaving aside the matter of davar shaloi bala olam, you're going to say maybe that's not a problem. But because again, you're talking about yodayim, and then yodayim exists now, but you still have the problem that she's not able to make that neder now because she's meshubad to her husband. So how is that? So how is she able to make such a neder now for it to be effective later? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abila. So Abila says, I'll tell you how it works. Let me give you an analogy. Uma ilu oy melachavera. Imagine you have Reuven says to Shimon, "Sadazu shani moichalacha. This field that right now I am selling you, likshe ekachena mimcha. When in the future I buy it back from you, takdish. Then I'm saying, as of now, it should become hekdish. Miloi kodsha. Wouldn't it become hekdish? And the fact is, yes, it would. Now, where is Reb Ila getting that from? The Ran explains you don't actually have, there's no actual explicit Mishnah or Braisa that tells Reb Ila that would work, but Svara tells us that it would work, because right now he has the ability to be makdish it, but even though later on he's going to lose that ability, But still he's able to. Now the Gemara is gonna ask, but it's not exactly the same thing, because the fact is right now it's the Yodai, and with the woman it's not. That's gonna be Rabbi Yumi's next question. But right now, Rabbi Ila is drawing an analogy like this. He's saying, when I sell you, after I sell it to you, obviously after Reuven sells it to Shimon, he can't be makdish it. Nevertheless, he can be makdish, he can say that he can say in advance, when I buy it back from you, it should be kodesh, and it should become hektish, and it works.
Well, he gets it back by yovel, let's say, right?
No, forget about yovel a second. That may be true. That may be true, but we're talking about even, let's say, when yovel is not noy. He's saying, when I get it back from you, then I'm saying now in advance, it should be hektish.
So he just wants to sell it back to him, really.
Right, well, but that's the thing. So if the other guy doesn't sell it back to him, that doesn't work. So in other words, the Ran explains like this. When it comes to a wife, you have two different things. There's herself and there's Maisi Yadera. Her herself, her own goof belongs to her. The Paris belong to the husband. Unlike when you sell a field, when you sell a field, you're selling both the goof and the Paris. Therefore, Reb Ila is almost like making a Kal v'chomer. If even in that case, where you're giving away both, you're still able to make a t'nai now, and it will take effect in the future. All the more so when this woman is making this declaration now, and she owns herself the whole time. She owns her goof the whole time. It should be chal. But maskip le Rabbi Yirmiya. But Rabbi Yirmiya questions that me dummy. How do you compare it? The fact is, when Reuven says to Shimon, this field that I am selling you now, hash to be yodehu. The fact is, right now it is biyodeh. It is, he does have possession of the field, and he is able to be makdish it. If he had decided, you know what, I'm not selling it to you, Shimon, instead I'm giving it to Hekdish right now, that would work. Isha biyodeh lahakdish maisi adeha. Does the wife have the ability to be makdish or maisi adeha? In other words, the Ran says, it's true, Rabbi Ila, what you're saying, that with the woman you have an advantage over a field in that her goof always belongs, is always in her rishus. But nevertheless, you could argue that the fact that the, so you have, in other words, there's two different factors. On the one hand, a field, there's more reason to say that the hektish should work because right now you have that ability. There's less of a reason to say, because on the other hand, you're being disowned of the entire thing. So Reb Yumiya is saying, how do you know, Reb Ila, that fine, I can accept your din as far as the field, but how do you know to apply that to a wife to say, because she always owns her goof, therefore that should outweigh the point that she doesn't have ownership over Maisi Adeha. Maybe not. Maybe the point is she never has ownership over Maisi Adeha. It's always Meshuggah to her husband. So therefore, maybe that outweighs the other point, and therefore she's not able to be makdish it now. She's not able to say now that it should take effect when she gets divorced. That it should be kodesh, or in this case, that it should be also by net.
I understand why it's no comparison, because with her, there's still some connection the whole 24/7 to her goof. Whereas the field, he gets cut off from the field.
Well, that's the point. In other words, that's your Reb Ila wanted to say that the fact that we see that she has constant ownership of her goof maybe should be reason enough for her to be able to do this. And Reb Yumi is saying, on the other hand, that's true. But on the other hand, she never has ownership of Maisi Adeha. As soon as she makes any Maisi Adeha, it belongs to her husband. So they're unlike the field, where right now, when he's making this declaration to Shimon, he has the ability instead to be makdish it. She doesn't have that ability. She only has the ability later on after she's divorced. So therefore, you can't really compare it. Holy dummy. So Rabbi Yumiya continues, if you want to compare it, the only thing you can compare it, you want to compare it to a case involving a field and hektish, you're going to have to draw out the case differently. Ela la omer l'chaveroi. You're rather going to have to describe a case. This field that I already sold you, in the future, when I buy it back from you, takdish, then it should become kodesh. Mikodesh. Does it become kodesh? Of course not. It's not in your rishus right now. So by the same token, how does she have the ability right now to be makdish or maisi adeha when she doesn't own them yet? So how does it work? But the Gemara says, maskit lo rapapa. But in turn, rapapa, In turn, Rav Papa asks on Rav Yumi's question, "Me dummy, how is that comparable? Gabiz vina psika milsayu. When it comes to a sale, it's a fixed thing. Meaning that we know for of course at the time when Reuven is making this declaration, he owns nothing at all of the field. Gabi isha mi psika milsa. By the woman, is it true that she doesn't have any schus? First of all, her as we said before, her goof is only in her rishus. So the papa is going back to the Ila's explanation that given that she owns her goof, then it's true. The papa is saying, I can't accept the Ila's equation of a field that I haven't sold yet with a woman where her maisia deha never belonged to her. But on the other hand, you want to say, on the other hand, that for sure it shouldn't be chal because it's like a field that was already sold. But on the other hand, when you sell a field, you're selling the entire thing, and here you're not selling, and here she's not selling the entire thing. So therefore, she has a goof. So. The Ran also adds, by the way, that so now Rav Papa instead is going to give a different. So Rav Papa instead is going to give a different analogy involving a mashkin and involving when I buy back the mashkin from you. Let's continue in the Gemara. So holoidami. So if you want to compare it to anything, this is what you can compare it to. Elol oimel chavera. A person says to his friend, "Sodazu shemishkanti lafa. This field that I mortgage to you." When I buy it back from you, taktish, then at that point it should become hektish. So now, when you mortgage a field, the goof still belongs to you. Only the paris you're giving away to the lakeach. So then it's the same kind of thing. Now here the Ran points out, we're going to have further in the Gemara, we're going to talk about that hektish overrides shibud. That's where we're going to end up using that to answer the question, how she's able to make this neder in the first place. Ultimately, we're going to end up answering that after we go through all these various possible analogies. We're going to end up answering that. But the point is, the Ran, now we're going to discuss there whether we're talking about a hektish domim, whether we're talking about whether we're talking about hektish domim or whether we're talking about hektish aguf. So the Ran learns later, and so does Rashi in Ksubas, that when we say that hektish overrides shibud is only kedushas aguf, not kedushas domim. So the Ran points out here you're talking about kedushas domim. In other words, when you makdish an animal as a korban, for example, that's kedushas aguf. The actual animal itself becomes kodesh. You have dinim about it. You're not allowed to shear it. You're not allowed to work with it, etc. Then you have kedushas damim, which is, for example, a regular kind of thing. When you donate something to hektish bedek abayis, most of the time it's only kedushas damim. You're not being makdish the actual object itself. You're being makdish the value of it, because hektish can't really use the object itself. So over here, in other words, the Ran explains that the loiva who's mortgaging the field, he still owns the goof. Therefore, when he says, when I buy it back from you, it should be kaddish. So at that point, it would be, so the reason why he mentions when I buy it back from you is because since it's only hektish damim, when you're donating this field to hektish, it's only hektish damim, because again, hektish themselves probably doesn't need the field. They're only going to sell it and use the money. So that wouldn't take away from the sheep. That wouldn't take away the sheepboard. Therefore, he wouldn't be able to be makdish it until he actually buys it back from the other guy. As opposed to, for example, we're going to talk about later on, you can have a case where a person makes his ox apusiki, which is a type of mortgage. We'll talk about that soon. Where there, he's able to be makdish it even while the apusiki is in effect, because there it's hektish aguf. So that's different. Anyway, the point is that the Ran also refers to something that we learned earlier in the Masechta. We had a case where a person is makdish a house, where a person rented out a house to somebody else and then was makdish the house, where then the din is that from now on the tenant pays rent to hektish. And the thing is, because there he said, I'm renting you a house, rather than a particular house. So therefore, what he does really is, really what it is temporarily the tenant is going to pay Hekdesh. Really what it is the house eventually is going to go to Hekdesh, and the rent and the landlord will be responsible to give him a different house to live in, because he told him to begin with, I'm renting you a house. And once you have the problem that living there itself constitutes me'ila, because the house belongs to Hekdesh, then he's going to have to give him a different house in order that he's not committing me'ila.
But how can?
But it's different. It's different. In other words, when he said this particular house, it's different. When he said this particular house, then again the Hekdesh domim of the house does not override the shibud that he rented the house to the guy, and that therefore the guy has the right to live there.
And just pay rent.
Too. Yeah, and pay rent to Hekdesh. Yeah.
But this case over here, with where he says that he's giving it as a mortgage,
right?
So it's very similar to the woman.
That's exactly what her papa is saying. This is exactly like the case of the woman. He owns the goof. He's giving away the payers the same way. The woman owns her goof. She's giving away the payers. So he says, Sodazusha Mishkanti Lacha, this field that I'm mortgaged to you, Lichsha Efdena Mimcha, when in the future I buy it back from you, when I satisfy the mortgage and get back the payers, Takdish, then this field should be Kodesh, Milai Kodesha, wouldn't it be Kodesh? Because after all, he owns the goof now. Well, then that's exactly the same kind of thing as the case of the woman, because she owns the goof and the question is on the payers. However, Maskiflot of Shisha Braided of Idi, but Rav Shisha Braided of Idi says, on the other hand, there's a flaw in the comparison that you, Rav Papa, are making. Me dummy, how do you compare it? Soda be yodel of Doisai. When it comes to the field, the borrower, the one who's giving the mortgage, always has the ability to buy back the field. To satisfy the mortgage, to get back the field. Isha b'yodel iskarish, does the woman have the ability to be divorced? Of course not. The divorce has to be given by the husband.
There were a few words that you wanted to switch.
A mask for shishu b'yodel, me dummy,
sada me dummy, husband.
Yeah, I said that.
Is it kaitisho?
No, that's at the end.
Oh,
that's at the end. Yeah, you're skipping a few lines. Yeah, yeah. Mask of shishu b'yodel, me dummy, how are you comparing it? The field, the owner of the field is able to be paid to the field anytime he wants. So therefore, so it's biyode even now. The Ran refers to a rule that the Gemara says elsewhere, when something is biyode, it's not considered mechusa maise. Sometimes you have where something needs to be accomplished in order for something to be in a position to be able to do something with it. But if it's biyode, if you have it in your possession, in your ability to do that, then it's not considered mechusa maise. So therefore, we can consider it even now as though he owns the field to the extent that he can be makdish.
If he pays up his mortgage, then
he pays up the mortgage, then the hekdesh will be chal. Isha biyodel is Scottish, but does a woman have the ability to be divorced? It's not. The get is given by the husband. So therefore, now, how can she say, and so again, we're back to the question, how can she say a neder now that should take effect only when she gets divorced? Now the Ran points out, now you mentioned before what we mentioned yesterday in the Gemara that we learned in Ksubas, Rav Huna says that she can always say, Eini zonis v'eini osa. She can always say, forget about giving you my ma'isi yadayim, I will support myself, and you don't get my ma'isi yadayim anymore. So in that sense, it is biyada, anytime to make this neder bichal. The Ran says, listen, we're talking within Rav Yechim and Nuri's opinion. Rav Yechim and Nuri in the Mishnah said, we learned in Ksubas, we have various kinds of Maisi Adeha. We have, for example, a certain amount of wool that she needs to spin per week that helps go towards the household expenses that we learned about in Ksubas. But we also have the various other household tasks that she needs to do, making the beds and feeding the animals and nursing the baby and cooking and so on and so forth. Rabbi Yechanan Nuri is focusing on those. He's not focusing on the spinning the wool. We're fine. She says she can say Ein Nizonis Veini Osa. She still can't say Ein Nizonis Veini Osa on those basic household tasks. Even if she has shrochas, some of them she still has to do. Therefore, now those she can't be exempted from those unless she actually gets divorced. So forget about the question of Ein Nizonis Veini Osa. That would only be relevant to the work that she does in order to contribute towards the family income, but not the work that she does in order to keep the house running. that the only way to get out of it is to get divorced, and it's not biyada to get divorced. So says Rav Shisha Breda Rabidi, holo damya. So if you want to compare it to, then compare it to the following case. Elola oimel chaveroi. Suppose that Reuven says to Shimon, sodazushmishkanti lachola eser shonim. Suppose that he gives a fixed amount of time on the mashkin. He says the mashkin is for 10 years. And yeah, the Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses various ways of doing this mashkin in such a way that you don't have a problem with ribs. Now, I mean, the basic idea, what are you doing a mashkin for in the first place is because you're borrowing money from the other guy and you're giving him the field as a mashkin. The problem is, you have to have some way of structuring it so that you're not actually giving him more than, so you don't end up giving him more than you borrowed from him. Otherwise, you have a problem of ribis. So the Gemara discusses over there a few different kinds of mashkanta. One of them is, which the Gemara says is mutter, is called mashkanta de surah. Essentially, what you say is that, the mashkan is going to be for a certain fixed time, let's say 10 years. You'll get whatever payrus the field produces during those 10 years. After that, the debt is considered completely paid up, regardless, even if it happened that they were bad years and you didn't get as much payrus as expected. The reason it works is because the amount of payrus from a field is variable from one year to the next. So therefore, there's enough risk that the lender is taking on. It's not a guarantee that he's going to make a profit on it, and that he may not even make up what he was supposed to get for his debt. So therefore, it's fine. As opposed to the Gemara says over there, you wouldn't be able to do that. Let's say with a house that he's collecting the rent from, or a store, or different things like that, or a ship, or whatever, things where the amount of profit from it is more secure from year to year. It's not dependent on weather and other factors like it is with a field. So therefore, then you'd have a problem with that if the total value of the proceeds from those 10 years exceeds the value of the loan, then you have a problem with ribis, at least in Rabbanan. But here with a field, it's allowed.
Let's say it's good years.
One second. Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. Even if it's good years, so even if it so happens all 10 of them were good years, and now it comes out that he makes much more than he lent in the loan, that's still fine because it wasn't a guarantee in the first place. Either the whole thing, midaraisa, ribis would only be a problem only if you arrange it in advance. So midrabanan, you have various cases where it's also, even though you didn't arrange in advance, but in this case, where not only you didn't arrange to pay him more in advance, but even the fact that he ends up getting more is itself a variable thing and is not certain, then the Chachamim said it's allowed.
That's why I put the key. There was a exam because people didn't want to make mashkantas.
Right. Right. So what were you going to ask, Avimashia?
You're saying that a store or a house is more secure in terms of rent. Well, that's not necessarily the case. There are many, many situations where the rent cannot be paid if the house, let's say...
It's less variable than a field where you can have, you know, one year a drought comes, one year a flood comes, one year locusts come or whatever, and the whole thing is gone. With a house, yes, of course, you could have problems with it, but it is much less likely to be. Whatever. I mean, this isn't the place really to discuss this. We'll learn this in great detail in Bava Metzia a year and a half or so from now, whatever, best Hashem. But anyway, the point is that the sort of Shisha Breda of Idi is saying, again, given the difference between a field, which you could buy, which you could satisfy the mortgage at any time and get back your field, versus a wife where she doesn't have it up, it's not up to her to get divorced. So Rav Shisha Breda Rav Idi is saying, let's compare it then to a case where you set a mashkin for a fixed amount of time, say for 10 years. Lichshef denim imchot taktish. I want that when I buy it back from you, or when the time is over, then it should become kodesh. Milay kodesh. Doesn't it become kodesh? So even though now there he said 10 years, meaning that he doesn't have the ability to buy it back before 10 years. In the case of a mashkanta like that, actually the Gemara discusses it above Metzia. There were different places where they had different minhagim about that. But in many places, the minhag was, you told him 10 years, then he has to be able to hold on to it for 10 years, even if you have the money to pay back before that. It's called that you're able to be masalik, you're not able to be masalik. The Gemara discusses it in great detail over there. Anyway, the point is...
If both sides agree?
If both sides agree, I guess that would be different. But the point is, if Reuven has the money and he goes to Shimon and says, you know, I'd like my field back. I'd like to end the mashkanta and get it back. Shimon has every right to say, no, you told me 10 years. I expect to have the use of it for 10 years. So in that case, so Reuven doesn't have unilateral right to get back the field during the 10 years. Well, then that's exactly the case of the woman, where she doesn't have the unilateral right to be divorced. It depends on her husband, the same way as over there. It depends on Shimon. And yet, Milay Kodsha, and yet doesn't the field become hektish? So by the same token over here, we should be able to say that, yes, the woman should have the ability to make a declaration now, even though she's not able to, even though it's not in her power to get divorced, but she can make a declaration that my siyada should be also to you, my husband, and that should take effect after I get divorced, or rather not my siyada, but she's saying my hands will be kodesh, yeah. And it'll take it as far as my siyada, and it'll take effect after I get divorced, because yeah, even though she doesn't have the ability to get divorced now, but if it happens later, then yeah.
Yeah, but that is a good comparison.
Well, but the Gemara asks Maskefer of Ashi.
Let's say he dies.
So Maskefer of Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, how are you comparing that? Rav Ashi questions that. Me dummy. How do you compare that? Gabe, Hossam Kitz. When it comes to the mashkanta, you know there's a fixed amount of time, 10 years, and you're guaranteed to get the field back. It's interesting, by the way, that the Ran uses the expression shnei masa chodesh, 12 months. And goes to Rav Ranchburg on the side, changes it to 10 years. Why 12 months doesn't seem to fit? Maybe the Ran is talking, even according to the opinions that you do have the ability to undo the mashkanta at any time, there is a minimum amount of time before you can. You can't go to the guy in the next day and say, I want to pay you, because then it kind of defeats the whole purpose of a mashkanta. You have to allow him to have it at least for a certain amount of time. So maybe the Ran is mentioning 12 months in the sense, even if it is a place where you're able to be masalik, even if it is a place where later on you're able to bring him money and undo the mashkanta, it's still, you have a certain amount, only a certain amount of time before you can do that. By the way, in the halachas of Yovel, you have something very similar. You have when you sell a field to somebody in the times when Yovel is in effect, you can't buy it back within 2 years. You have the person has to have ownership of it for 2 years before you're able to buy it back from them. So here, in a similar vein with a mashkanta, there could be the same kind of thing. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So yeah. Okay, anyway, so when it comes to there, you know there's a certain deadline. You know that after 10 years, you're getting it back. You know at least maybe after 12 months, you have the option of getting it back. Isha mi isla kitzusa, does a woman have any kind of fixed time? Meaning there's no particular time when you could say it's guaranteed that by then she's going to be divorced. So it's not really comparable. In fact, brings an interesting point over here Rav Hanan Wasserman explains in Kovetz Shurim that Rav Shisha Breder of Idi, who didn't take that factor into consideration, and Rav Ashi, who does, what they're actually arguing about is, why is it that you're able to, what's the grounds on which you're able to be makdish such a field that's under a mashkanta for 10 years? Rav Shisha Breder of Idi takes the view that, look, the whole time the guf is in your possession, therefore, it would work even in the case of a woman, because again, the hands belong to her. Rav Ashi is saying the key factor is that 10 years from now, it's going to return to you even without doing anything at all. Whereas in the case of a woman, that's not so, because 10 years from now, she's not necessarily going to be divorced. Rav Ashi says, forget about trying to draw analogies between fields and women. None of those are going to work. You can't find an exact case that's going to match. But shiny koinomus, Rav Ashi says it's different in the case when a woman makes a, it's different when a person makes a koinom, and therefore she's able to be makdish maisi odeha. In fact, it is able to work even while she's married. Not like we were saying before, that it only takes effect after she gets divorced. Because then that becomes the equivalent of making something drushes a guf. For example, making an animal hektish to be brought as a korban. The din is, when you makdish an animal, as long as it's a tam, you actually can't buy it back from the mizbeach. Only it develops mum. That's why we have throughout Shas, you have an animal that was disqualified as a korban for one reason or another. We say yirad shistar. We have to leave it until it, we have to graze until it develops a mum, and then we can sell it, and then we can use the money for whatever type of korban was supposed to be used for, whatever. But
when earlier?
because as long as the animal is a tam, is an isur from the Torah.
Too young, right?
No, not too young. Tam is where it doesn't have a mum. So while as long as the animal is still intact and able to be offered as a korban, then the Torah tells us there's a pasuk for this that you're not allowed to buy it back from Hekdesh. Right. So now when she makes her hands Hekdesh, then there's no getting around that. It's a kedusha zaguf. So it's able to undo her shibud to the husband. V'chidirava. Which this works because this works on the principle that Rava said, the Amar Rava, Hekdesh, Chometz, Veshichru. Rava says Hekdesh, which is, so now let's talk about the matter of Aposiki. So an Aposiki is a type of mortgage. In fact, in many languages, many European languages, the word for mortgage is a word very similar to that, Hipotheka or some other word like that. It actually comes from a Greek root. But there are places where Rashi explains that it's also an acronym for an Aramaic expression, apoi tehei koi. It should stand on this. In other words, you're saying that this shor, this whatever that I'm declaring aposiki, when it comes to collect the debt, if I default on the debt, the debt will stand on this. In other words, you have the right to take this particular item to satisfy the debt. Anyway, so now suppose a person made his ox an aposiki. Then later on, he declares that ox Hekdesh, he declares it a korban. So then that undoes the shibud of the malva, and now the malva will have to collect from someplace else. So the Ran adds, in other words, we don't say at that point, and now we know you can't bring a stolen animal as a korban. So wouldn't this be considered stolen? Because after all, the other guy had a shibud on it. No, it's not, because the other guy only owned it insofar as that he was going to be able to collect from it. In other words, in effect, his shibud on it. Well, no, I mean, he could keep the ox if he wanted, but the point is his ownership of it was only to the extent that he's guaranteed to be able to have a place to be able to collect his debt from. So the Guvaina Ba'alma is the expression that Ran uses. So therefore, it wasn't considered really a true ownership of it. So therefore, now the original owner has the ability to be makdish it. So now, the Ran goes on to say that would only work only if the owner of the ox is makdish et kedushas aguf. It would not work if he's makdish et kedushas damim. Then, in fact, the din is if he were to be makdish that ox to bedek abayis, for example. The Ran refers to a gemara in Erchin, where then Hekdesh will have to sell that object, because in general, most of the things people donate to Hekdesh, they don't need the actual object itself, they need the money. So they're going to sell it like they would any other. What they do is they're selling it to a person who's saying that I'm going to buy it kind of at a discount and in order to restore it to the person who had the shibud on it. So in other words, The only reason the Gemara says over there why the I said it a little wrong. What it is the malva pays an extra dinar, and the only reason for that is just so people don't think that Hekdesh can go out of the property of Hekdesh without being nifted at all. And then the buyer, which is now the malva, is able to keep that ox because again, it was supposed to be his for an aposiki. So the point is that the Makdish did it only as Kedushas Damim. So then, and Kedushas Damim, you can redeem from Hekdesh. But Kedushas Aguf, you can't. So that's the thing. So it would have to, right. So that's true. There is a different din that you can't be Makdish an animal, which is a tam, as Kedushas Damim. So fine, we'd have to be talking about either the animal was a Baal Mum or for whatever other reason it was disqualified as a Korban. So then, right. I mean, here the expression we're talking about is a shur, but yeah, the same thing. But yeah. Anyway, the Ran says, now Rabbeinu Tam elsewhere, there's a long Tosfos in Gittin where it also discusses this matter of Hekdesh taking away Shibud. Rabbeinu Tam discusses over there and argues that no, even Kedushas Damim should be able to undo a Shibud. So not only if we're talking about over here where it was Makdish the animal to the Mizbeach, but even if it was Makdish it to Bedek Abayis, we might still say that it undoes the guy's Shibud. And then again, Tosfos discusses it over there at some length and get in the ins and outs of that. So the Ran just
the guy wouldn't have a guarantee, or you wouldn't own money.
So no mean, in other words, that now he has to collect from someplace else. Okay. Yeah.
Now, how does that work out with the woman? She still has to take care of her husband.
So what we're saying is, in other words, that we're saying that her the fact that she was makdish her hands is able to undo, that is able to override the shibud that she normally has to do these malachas for her husband. So the result would be actually that now she can't do those malachas for her husband. So therefore, but that's what we're saying. So we're saying yofer, that he should be, so that's what Rabbi Yechon Anuri was saying in the Mishnah, yofer, that he should be made for the neder, because if nothing else, it's dvarim shebeinu levena. Now, the Gemara is going to ask soon, in that case, why is Rabbi Yechon Anuri referring to the part about the getting divorced? Even while they're married, there's good reason to be made for the neder. So we'll get to that. So we'll get to that soon. Anyway. Earlier in the Masechta, the Ran referred to in some detail. Again, when we had this business over there, for example, about a person being makdish a piece of property we had over there actually where one person is mudr hana from somebody else, what he's allowed to and what he's not allowed to have hana from. So the Ran discussed in some detail over there this machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos, of Rashi and Ben Atam, whether when we say that hektish, that hektish overrides shibur, are we talking about only hektish aguf, only kedushas aguf, like Rashi says, or even kedushas damim, like Ben Atam says. So getting back to our Gemara, so that's hektish. So again, hektish, at least hektish aguf, maybe according to the Ben Atam, hektish damim as well, overrides a shibud. Also, Rava continues, chometz. Suppose a person made his chometz in Apusiki. So he borrowed money from a goy. He tells him, I'm making this chometz of mine, let's say this barrel of mashka or whatever, and Apusiki for the loan. Once Pesach comes, then that undoes the shibud, and it's osabana as usual with chometz shavur al Pesach.
Oh, so now she paid him back.
Right? So now he didn't pay him. That's the point. In other words, he didn't pay him before Pesach. The barrel of mashka was there as an apusiki. Now the yid did not sell it with his mechiras chometz. So now it becomes also after Pesach. Just because he didn't think to. You have to remember that in the times of the Gemara, it wasn't until the times of the Rishonim that Mechiras Chometz every year started to become a regular thing. In the times of the Gemara, I think we've discussed this before, Rev Zevin describes in Hamoridim Ba'alacha that there were really four stages in the concept of Mechiras Chometz. It only became in the time of the Rishonim that they really even entered the second stage, which is that it became a more regular thing that you sell your Chometz to a goy, because there came a point when there were Jewish kretschmers who owned large stocks of mashke, they can't easily dispose of it before Pesach, so they came up with the concept of on a regular basis selling it to the goy. Up until then, the expectation was that generally you get rid of your chometz before Pesach. There's no need on an annual basis to sell any leftover to the goy. You time it so that you'd time your purchases so you finish it before Pesach. And if not, then fine. If you have a small quantity, then whatever. Even if you're selling it to a goy, it would be a regular permanent sale. Anyway. The point is, so now this yid has chometz. He made an aposiki for a goy. Now he didn't sell it with his mechiras chometz, so it's chometz shavur al Pesach. It's chometz that belongs to a yid where Pesach passed, and now it's also bahana. So that undoes the shibud. Now he can't use it in his aposiki for the goy because it's also bahana for him.
Even though it started before Pesach.
So the Ran also mentions, now there is a Gemara in Pesachim that when you actually give the chometz and the left in the goy's possession as a mashkin, then that's different. Here we're talking about where it's in the Jew's possession over Pesach. Yeah. So that's what we mean, that chometz. And the third thing, the shichrur, the same thing would be freeing a slave. So suppose a person makes a slave an apusiki, and then later on he frees that slave. Then again, that undoes the shibud, and now the malva cannot collect from that slave. He has by taking that slave, instead he'd have to take something else of the loivas. So those three things, Rava says, mafkiin midei shibud, all those three things undo shibud. So by the same token over here, when the woman says that my hands should be kodesh, which we're saying is considered kedushas aguf, or according to the Ben Atam, maybe even is only considered kedushas damim, fine, whatever, that undoes the shibud that she has to her husband, where she has to spin wool and do various household jobs and whatever, that undoes that and makes it that now Shitaka would be also to do those things. So that explains now. So now we understand Shmuel, when Shmuel said at the beginning of the sugya, the halacha is like Rabbi Yechon Manuri, then that's why. As far as the Dabar Shaloi Bala Olam, we're talking about she was Makdash her hands, so it's not Dabar Shaloi Bala Olam. And as far as the part that we were worried about, that we started discussing today, but then, how is she able to be Makdash that while she's married? The answer is because that's an example of Hekdash overriding the Shiva. So the Gemara asks, Yehochi Lomali Shama Yigarshena. Well, in that case, why are we mentioning the case? Why is Rabbi Yechim Anuri mentioning the point that he might divorce her? Even if he doesn't divorce her, the fact is that the shibud is over, her hektish is overriding the shibud to the husband. And isn't that a problem? Yeah, it prevents her from doing jobs around the house. The answer is, Tony, you're right. You have to learn Va'oid Shema Yigarshena. Another point is because he might divorce her. In other words, Rabbi Yechim Anuri is telling us two reasons. Number one, her koinam undoes the husband's shibud. And even if you're going to say, now the Ran said, now the Ran does not have the following line in the Gemara, but the Rosh and Tosfos do, which is that, now the Gemara in Ksubas also discusses this point, because in Ksubas we also discussed cases where the woman has, we talk about the fact that the woman has the shibud and what happens if she makes a neder on it. We mentioned this in the Shuyodai Lysay in there also, and we had a whole discussion about it. So there, the Gemara explains that the Chachamim strengthened the shibud of the husband and made it unlike a regular shibud, that hektish and chametz and so forth can override it. Here, the Chachamim made the shibud of the husband stronger so that a neder cannot override it. So the Chachamim have the ability to do that, to make that one kind of shibud is stronger than the other. So now, The Ram doesn't have that line in the Gemara, but he's saying, in effect, that's what the Gemara is answering. Even if you're going to say that the Chachamim strengthen his shibud, or according to the Rosh and Tosfos, the Gemara is actually saying this, that even if you say that he strengthened, the Chachamim strengthen his shibud, nevertheless, Rabbi Yechim Anuri is saying, fine, in that case, then her neder would not override it. So he wouldn't need to be made for to cover the time while they're married, but he still should be made for, because if they get divorced, then it will be fully in effect and they won't be able to get remarried. So the Ran says that like this, since Mitzad had, now the Gemara over here is not, according to the Ran, the Gemara over here is not using that, is not actually using that answer of Al-Mur Rabbanon L'Shibud. The Gemara there clearly says that the Chachamim made his Shibud stronger such that the Neder can't override it. Here, the Gemara is not using that. So the Ran says, because we could say that since Mitzada Din, So first, okay, the Gemara is not using the answer, but still it amounts to the same thing. And implicitly, the Gemara is using that answer over here, even though it doesn't say it befeirish. Again, the Ran and Tosfos actually have it in the Gemara over here. But anyway, the Ran points out another point now. Again, if you're going to say that they strengthen the husband's shibud so that her neder can't override it, then aren't you back to the problem? How can she make a neder now where she's not able to make it chal, where it's only going to be chal after she gets divorced? So the Ran says, because the answer would be that since Me'ikra Din would have been chal, we're saying the Chachamim strengthened his shibud to prevent it from being chal, but fundamentally it should have. So then only they're saying, They're only strengthening it to the extent that now, as long as they're married, her neder is not able to take effect, but not to the extent that it should prevent it from taking effect later on when she declared it now. We don't say it's strengthened to that extent. Therefore, she has the ability to make that neder now, which will be chal later on when his shibud is gone, namely when they get divorced.
And she has the strength to make a neder,
yeah.
Neder against Hekdash?
No, not against Hekdash, but against Shibud. Against Shibud. She's Meshubud to her husband to do various household jobs to contribute to the family income. What we're saying now is that on the one hand, we could say that her neder, that her koinam overrides that, and therefore that in fact it would be in effect while she's married. Or we could say, as the Gemara says in Ksubas, that the Chachamim strengthen and reinforce the husband's shibud so that her neder cannot override it. But in that case, even then, Rabbi Yechon Anuri is saying, the fact is there's reason to be mefer, because potentially if they get divorced, then you're going to have a problem with them getting remarried.
That's why the Gemara says that you should be made for her.
That's why Rabbi Yechon Anuri is saying that you should be made for her. So in other words, the Gemara is saying that Rabbi Yechon Anuri is telling us two points. If you say that if you say that her koinam is able to override her shibud to the husband, then there's a reason to be for him to be made for right now. Even if you say that kanaf, the husband's shibud, is still stronger than her neder, nevertheless, another reason would be because if they get divorced, they won't be able to get remarried. Okay. Good. Everyone.